Welcome back to the show. It's Motor Mania on a Saturday morning. Tom and Az in are the hot seats at the moment. This is the only interactive car show on UAE Radio, giving you motoring advice for free, talking about what's happening in the car world and letting you have a voice on road safety issues as well. And here's what's coming up in the next hour. Cars, loads of them. Are you going away for the summer? We'll tell you how to keep your car safe in extreme heat with husband and wife a team, Heaton and Anjana Pinduria, owners of Quick Auto Pro Workshop in Alkers, and we'll never stop talking about e-scooters. More fatalities and injuries reported by Dubai Police this week. We'll look at those numbers later. And Naz has been road testing the Polestar 2, no less. So we will have more on that one for you. Damien's also been out and about. He's going to be telling us about the revamped AGMC BMW showroom, which is on, yeah, you guessed it, Sheikh Zayed Road. Are there any other roads for showrooms out there? And that's all still coming up in a few moments' time. This is Motor Mania, only on Dubai i103.8. It's a Saturday. We're done pricing cars. I've got Naz alongside me. He's been a busy bee over the course of, pretty much his entire life, but certainly recently as well. No shortage of cars to test out in the market. And this is going to be an interesting one. The Polestar 2, how did that go?
Yeah, it worked really well, actually. In fact, I was pleasantly surprised. So just to give you guys a bit of background, Polestar was Volvo's performance arm. So anything that Volvo, you know, wanted to shout out about had the Polestar brand on it, which is like the Northern Star, which is really interesting. And then when Geely bought them out, they just turned that into their EV range. So this is the EV range of Volvo, but underpinned by Geely, which is quite interesting. You know, they came out with the Polestar 1, which is a highly expensive, almost concept car kind of thing, which was like super fast, super expensive, all the bells and whistles, as did Elon Musk when he did the original Roadster, right? You know, you have to come in and do something special to get your name and your brand out there. The Polestar 2 is the first, you can say, mass-produced Polestar out there. And it's a really interesting car because it comes at a time where, you know, everyone's going into this whole EV thing and, you know, competition's really high. You know, you can equate this to the Tesla Model 3, really, in terms of like size and things like that. The exterior is a bit larger than the Model 3. It's based on being underpinned by Volvo. It's based on the Volvo XC40 platform, which is a compact SUV. So it's got higher roof lines. It is unmistakably Volvo because it's the same designer who designed all the traditional Volvos that designed this. So you'll notice from the grille and the way the headlights are, it's unmistakably Volvo. If you take the Polestar sign off and had to take a guess, and if you're a car guy, you would say Volvo. Now, that's the exterior. You know, it's got nice 19-inch rims, but you can upgrade to 20-inch rims as well. It's got a much higher roof line, so it's more of a hatchback shape rather than the fish seal kind of smooth-looking Tesla. The downside and drawback of that is the drag coefficient is slightly lower. So for the tech guys out there, drag coefficient is 0.28, whereas its competitor Model 3 is 0.23. So it's not as smooth and slippery through the air, which is something that everybody looks at when they buy an electric car. But having said that, it definitely makes up for it in the looks. You know, a lot of people say the Tesla is quite bland. I agree. This is a lot more punchy. It's got the full light range at the back. It really, really does look good for what it is in a very, very competitive segment. I mean, we're talking about the Tesla here, but you've also got BYD coming in through AlphaTame. You've got VinFast coming in, which we'll talk about shortly. And you've got Kia with their fantastic EV5. So it's a very, very, very competitive segment. But I think Polestar is definitely up there in terms of looks. Unique, but good. In terms of interior, honestly, like, I was very, very, very impressed. Very minimalistic. Not as minimalistic as a Tesla, because Tesla almost looks like an unfurnished apartment, right? It's very, very basic. Whereas this is also minimalistic, but done well. The first thing that strikes you is a lot of digital screens. You've got a big digital dash in front of you, which is very well thought out, very well laid out. The build quality and materials inside are really, really premium. I'd say far premium, far more premium than the Tesla stuff. And the best thing about it, in my opinion, is the infotainment screen. So as these cars are going into the digital world, you know, you've got these big screens inside, like little iPads, as you can imagine. And I find them quite tough to get used to.
Yeah.
Whereas what Polestar have done so well is they've left the tech stuff to the tech guru. So it's actually an Android system.
Okay.
So it's so easy to use, so versatile. You can have your widgets, you can change your dashboards. It's got Google Assist, so you can talk to it, you know, switch on the heated seats, cool it down, do whatever. And it actually does everything for you through Google. So to have a Google interface for me is very, very, very intuitive. In terms of performance, you know, nothing out of the ordinary. You know, the range is up to 655 kilometers if you go for the larger battery pack. 0-60 performance times are still very good. Price point, a little bit more than the Tesla, and rightly so and rightly deserved, simply because it's a more premium car. But then again, with the Kia coming out, with the BYD range, I think it's going to be quite competitive. And I went to the launch of the Polestar 3 recently, which is the larger SUV range, and that goes up to 400,000 dirhams. So, you know, Polestar really shouting in the marketplace. And as you said, they've got a place in the mall, right? So they're
yeah, what's that like? Because I walked past it the other day to buy a shirt. And I was like, hang on, that's a car showroom.
So the whole business model is different. You know, they don't have these big fancy showrooms on Sheikh Zayed Road. And rightly so, I think it's a very good concept because you've got one car. So why have a big fancy showroom and have 50 of the same car? It just doesn't make sense. So, you know, it's very Apple-esque in terms of the way they do their marketing material and in terms of the brand guidelines and things like that. But it does make sense in a funny way, whereby when I actually went to pick up the car, I walked into Mall of the Emirates because they sent me the pin. I was like, are you sure this is right?
Yeah.
And I got there and it was like, between Nespresso and God knows what.
Like, yeah, yeah. Suit supply or something like that,
exactly.
Isn't it?
But you get there, they've got a nice car on display. You've got all the different fabrics, all the different materials that you can choose if you were to spec up your car. And yeah, I signed a couple of forms. They're like, follow me, sir. And they walk me down through the car park, down the escalators. And lo and behold, there's a whole range of like little Polestars in the corner. So they've cornered off an area there with Polestar charging as well.
I wanted to ask you about charging. Did you have to charge whilst you had ownership of?
Yeah, look, this one point which I never want to talk about because I'm not really an electric car guy, but that range anxiety is absolute killer. You know, you jump in, it's 100%. I've got the AC blasting, it's summer. I'm flooring it up and down. I went to do a school run and the next thing, you know, it's like 66%. And I was like, here comes the range anxiety. Yeah. So there's me trying to slow down, trying not to like drain out too much, making sure, you know, every hour I'm just opening Google Maps. Can I get back to the mall? Can I get back to the mall? Surprisingly did well. I think the claimed target for my particular model was close to 500 kilometers. I think I got about 350 out of it with quite a heavy foot in summer, with AC on, with kids in the back. So, you know, that's one thing that for me will never sit right. The whole range anxiety thing, it really, really like stresses me out. So I'm not really an electric car guy. Like, I want to know there's a petrol station around the corner where I can fill up with good old-fashioned fuel and floor it away.
Exactly, especially if you're dropping it off at a hire car.
Exactly.
Just before getting to a flight.
Exactly.
Price?
Starting from 200,000 dirhams, that's for the simple motor, and then going up to late twos for the dual motor performance range.
Okay, now the 200,000 dirham question for you. Would you buy one?
If you put a gun to my head and said, buy an electric car, then I'd probably... Polestar 2 would be high on the list.
Mm.
So there's a lot of ifs, buts and maybes. It's a very delicate answer because I would not buy an electric car.
Okay, if Naz would not, then who would? Who's the market for this?
So there's a couple of other really interesting points with the Polestar 2. It's very eco-friendly. You know, they have a very neutral carbon footprint. They're very sustainable. The interior is not made from animals. It's made from some other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very earth conscious.
Mm-hmm.
That's really very Volvo. It's very Volvo. It's very earth conscious. It's very safe. It's very reliable. So, you know, if one were to look for an electric car, I think Polestar 2 is definitely up there. And the million-dollar question is, would you take this over a Tesla? Because that's what everyone's thinking. And my answer, sorry, Elon Musk, I love you. I love your product. I love everything you do. But I'd take the Polestar 2 over the Tesla.
That's what's going on the car reviews. That's Naz's take on. Up next, a car news roundup. There's a new electric vehicle maker in town. There's new figures on accidents caused by e-scooters. Tom and Naz addressing a few of those issues right here on Motormania next.
You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Motormania on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yeah, Tomek and Naz Chowdhury with you through until midday today. It is Motor Mania live on Dubai i103.8 FM. We have been doing I'll Fix It or Flip It in the first hour of the show, one of the most popular elements of the show. A lot of people getting in touch. We have one little bit of undone business or business that needs to be taken care of on that with Sally's Durango. Sally's faithful Durango. Quick story, Sally and family calling time on Dubai. Got to say goodbye to farewell to their dutiful Durango, the Dodge Durango. We worked out 400,000 on the clock, wasn't
yeah,
it?
Just shy of
400,000. What's 500 kilometers between mates? we wanted to know what model, and Sally's actually got back to us on that, saying it's the 2013.
Okay, Sally, thanks for getting back to us. Hope you're still listening. Yes, it does have some residual value. High level, put into perspective for you, if you're just to go for the convenient option and drive it to one of these cash buying businesses, you'll probably get, you know, 8,000 dirhams, 10,000 dirhams if you're lucky, somewhere there. You know, if you did have the patience, which not many people do, especially when you're leaving, to take some pictures and put it on Facebook Marketplace, do Bizzle, things like that, you could probably get closer to 15. So it's not going to make you a millionaire overnight, but it's that nice bit of spending money on your way out.
Right, appreciate that one, Naz. Now time for some more advice on the car news roundup. Let's talk electric vehicles, Naz's favourite subject in the whole wide world. Vietnam's VinFast has established its regional headquarters in the Jafsa area of Dubai, signing a dealership agreement with our friends at Altair Motors. VinFast is owned by Vietnam's richest man, the billionaire Pham Nhat Vuong. He's determined to roll out VinFast in key areas, including the Middle East. He's been speaking to Bloomberg TV's Haslinda Amin about his goals for VinFast.
How far are you willing to go? You've already invested $2 billion of your personal money to grow VinFast. How much more are you willing to invest in the company personally?
Until I run out of money.
How much more is that?
I'm still working every day to earn money for VinFast, but I think it won't be long. There will come a time when we won't need to raise VinFast anymore.
So you're confident that growth is coming soon enough?
VinFast will reach the break-even point and be able to stand on its own feet.
Fun fact for you, it was once valued more than Ford and General Motors, lost more than $83 billion on Wall Street last year. And as what do we know about VinFast? What's the words on the street?
So not much, actually, because I haven't seen one in the flesh in the UAE. Luckily, I was in the, well, this is funny. I was at the Geneva Motor Show in Doha, in parenthesis, because Doha took it this year.
Yeah, yeah.
And there was a VinFast stand, and I personally never heard of them before I turned up. So I was like, oh, another Chinese brand. And then when I went to speak to one of the guys at the thing, they said, this is a Vietnamese brand. We've been around since 2017. We specialize in, like, you know, electric cars, and it's Altair, like you said, who are going to be the distributors here. They're going to be bringing in the whole e-SUV range. So this is electric SUVs, the VF6, VF7, VF8, VF9, VF obviously being VinFast. So they're just going for very simple 6, 7, 8, and 9. So that's what we know about them in terms of price point, starting, looking at the global prices, $49,000. So we're expecting them to be in the Tesla BYD-ish range, probably slightly below the Polestars. But honestly, like, for me, it's such a competitive market. And to prove yourself among all these other manufacturers, you really, really, really need to do some miracle work. I'll give you a typical example. BYD is coming to the market through Alphatame. So Alphatame is one of the strongest principals or distributors out there. So, you know, you've obviously tied up with the right people. BYD actually sold more units than Tesla last year globally. Would you buy a BYD tomorrow?
I wouldn't, no.
And not many people would, because I've never heard of them. BYD, yeah. What does that stand for? Build your dream. It's hard to grasp a concept of a new car manufacturer. Like, you've been drinking Coke and Pepsi your whole life, and then tomorrow a random drink comes out. Looks good, tastes just as good. But Creature Comforts would say you stick to the brands that you know. So if BYD are going to have a hard time, how are VinFast going to do? That's my argument, which is, you really need to blow someone's socks off, whether it be through price point, but you always get problems with that, because if you're trying to compete on price, then ultimately you're going to compete on quality or you're going to lose out on quality. And then what do? You have to have a USP, something unique, something different. I don't know what their USP is at the moment.
Nah, one thing you never do when in London in the back of a black cab is talk to your driver about cyclists. Black cab drivers and cyclists just don't get on. It's a London thing, all right? But what's the equivalent here? Well, we think it might be e-scooters. Ain't a show that goes past without some discussion about e-scooters. Unfortunately, we've got some rather sad numbers to back up that conversation this week. Dubai Police releasing their latest stats for the first half of this year, 2024, regarding e-scooters and e-scooter drivers. 4,500 scooters confiscated, along with bicycles as well, electric bicycles. 7,800, so just shy of 8,000 violations recorded, 25 serious injuries. And the big top line news on this one, the sad news, 4 e-scooter related deaths in the first 6 months of this year. It's still problematic, correct?
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, it's really sad. And it's sad to see that a life has been taken, you know, regardless of whether it's 1 or 5. It's really sad to see the loss of life through this. I mean, you know, the concept of e-scooters is phenomenal. It's great. You know, it gets you from A to B. In a local community, it gets you to the shop and back. It could be done for recreational use, the cheap cost of ownership. So on paper, e-scooter does make a lot of sense. Mm. But sadly, we're not quite there with safety yet. Yeah. I mean, I personally don't even ride a motorbike because I don't trust anything on two wheels. Yeah. I just feel that there's no safety behind it. Now, when you get in these e-scooters, which are even less safe, no need for driving licenses. You can get them at a younger age, if I'm not mistaken. Honestly, it's a recipe for disaster.
I'll tell you what, and just for my penny's worth on this one, and just as an observer and a driver on the roads of the UAE, I think the worst, I've not seen an e-scooter driver who, or rider or whatever you want to call them, who's not got earphones in. And to me,
can you believe that? Like, it just doesn't make sense. Or got a helmet on.
Or got a helmet on, yeah. But it seems to be that if you get on these things, you got earphones in, so you're podcasting, you're listening to music or whatever, completely ambivalent to what's going on around you.
That honestly, like, I'm surprised there's only been 4 deaths. Mm. Like, let's put it that way, because, you know, rightly so, what you said, plus the fact that, you know, nobody wears a helmet. I think the minimum prerequisite legal law should be helmet, you know, reflectors, horn, things like that, yeah, just for awareness. And maybe a couple of lessons just, yeah, in terms of, you know, growing up in the UK, learning how to ride a bike, you know, you put your left arm out if you want to turn left and all of that basic stuff. But how many people on a scooter know that?
Yeah. Kudos to Dubai Police for taking the initiative on this one, yeah, as well. And of course, trying to officiate accordingly. Right. More from Naz and myself and special guests, introducing guests into the studio in a few moments' time. But before that, before flying back to Sydney, Damien Reid was busy going to car events here in the UAE. One of them was the relaunch of the AGMC BMW showroom located on Sheikh Zayed Road. It's a biggie, 95,000 square metres. That'll be an interesting rent. There, the dealers for BMW Mini and, of course, Rolls-Royce for Dubai and the other Northern Emirates. Damien had a chat with Dr. Hamid Hakpava, the CEO of AGMC BMW. Dr. Hamid told Damo that the showroom underwent a complete facelift. It doesn't look like a, how do you put it, traditional showroom. No desks, no phones. More experiential and all.
The research has shown that the customers, basically, first of all, the showroom visits are reducing, but when they're coming into the showroom, they want to see the experience. So mostly customers know the most elements of a car, you know, the size, the horsepower, the acceleration. So the moment they come here, they want to experience something. And this is now becomes an experience center. So as you can see, and rightly so, it's not about, you know, just coming here and getting informed about the car, but, you know, to sit in it, to drive in it, to have all the digital tools around you to see what kind of other configurations you have. You can just come here and have a coffee. We have wonderful coffee. We have an organic restaurant where we have served food and beverages to our customers. The coffee is fantastic. If you do this, you know, then I think the customers feel also at ease. And in this environment, it's always good to conduct business.
Now, obviously, BMW, one of the leaders heading down the path of electrification with the full range of vehicles you've got here on display now. What sort of work had to go into, for instance, working behind the front office with the service facilities and everything else to accommodate this new generation of car?
Purchasing EVs is a complete mindset shift for everyone, starting from the customer to us as well. First of all, we offer a wide range of electric cars. And by the way, we at BMW believe that the choice is with the customer. So if you purchase a 7 Series, you can purchase it with a combustion engine or with an electric motor. Yeah? It's just the same luxury feel, the same, you know, dynamics, the same size and the same chassis, but at the end it's two different drive chains. So from a process, it doesn't change anything. But what we do is we try to ease the customer journey by also offering a wall box for free for the home installation. So that's there. We offer other amenities, you know, that the customer can avail while purchasing an electric vehicle. And it has shown us success because in the region, I do believe that Dubai has the highest adoption of electric vehicles.
Those are the thoughts of Dr. Hamid Hakpava, the CEO of AGMC BMW. Up next, we introduce some special guests into the studio.
You're listening to the UAE's number one talk radio station.
This is Motor Mania on Dubai Eye 103.8.
Yes, indeed, into the final half hour of Motor Mania this Saturday morning. It's a warm one out there. We're just gazing out over the out of the windows here. We've got the heat haze descending on Dubai this weekend. And for anybody that has ventured out recently, it might come as a little bit of a surprise to you, but apparently yesterday, Naz, marked the official start of Dubai's summer.
Yeah, they told me that on the 20th of June and I'm there dying in the heat. And they're like, oh, by the way, summer starts tomorrow. I was like, you what? Like, we're not in the thick of it yet.
Feels like it started some time ago. UAE recording the highest temperature of the summer season so far. 3:15 yesterday, temperature of, guess what? Yeah, you guessed it. 49.99 degrees Celsius recorded in the Mazara Al Dhafra region, according to the Met Office here. They posted that on X yesterday. Look, the heat is relentless. I saw it yesterday. Do you trust those, you know, the temperature things you get in cars? Can you trust them or not?
Not really. I think what you need to do is you need to get on the roads and drive for a good 10 minutes to let the air get into that system.
Yeah.
Because when you sat in a car park, the temperatures are higher.
Yeah, I was doing the school pickup yesterday.
And you need to get in and drive for 10, 15 minutes.
Right, okay.
And then you get the thing. I mean, for me, it's the heat is okay. You can manage the heat. It's the humidity that when the humidity creeps up on you, that's the disaster. And I felt it this morning. And it's no good for cars as well. I'm sure you guys can share a bit more about that.
Yeah, well, we've been getting requests from people out there asking for advice on keeping their cars safe in the relentlessly hot weather at the moment. Carlo's been in touch with us. I'm going away for the summer. I have to leave my new car in an open parking lot for about 3 weeks when I go away on holiday. I'm worried the heat will damage it. Is that a reasonable fear? Friends suggesting buying a car cover. Any advice would be appreciated. Naz and I can give our advice, but let's get some expert advice on this one here, because we're joined by a couple now who have the answers and more as well, can give you advice on caring for your car this summer. Information that every car owner in Dubai really needs to hear. They own Quick Auto Pro. It's a family-run workshop in the heart of Al Khuz, celebrating its first anniversary at the moment. They are taking your questions. Warm welcome to the good people at Pindoris. It's the Pindoris, Anjana and Heaton, joining us live here in studio. Thanks so much indeed for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
Great to have you back on the airwaves again. Last time we spoke, it was in more difficult times, just post the floods. The floodwaters have receded a little, but now, Heaton, the floodwaters might have receded, but we got our next issue, which is, of course, the summer. Yeah. Any advice for Carlo there with his going away?
Yeah, look, I think we're all glad to see the drying up of the floods, and as we get into the heat of the summer. Common things I think we would advise is make sure that, you know, if you can, try and keep it the car under shade, basement car parks if possible, use some shades on the sunscreen, have good tints on the car. The biggest one I talk about is not keeping sanitizers in the car, not keeping pressurized vessels, deodorant cans, this kind of stuff in the heat if you're leaving it in direct sunlight. But as we go on to other elements of how to keep your car a little bit safer in terms of roadworthiness, another one people don't realize is tires. So if you're going away for 3-4 weeks or longer, and the car's stagnant and the weight of that car is on your tires, over time, the air pressure kind of reduces. So there's two ways you can avoid that. Either use something called a tire saver. You can buy sets easily on Amazon, or fill up your air pressures higher, typically up to 50, 55 PSI, and then kind of reduce it back down when you come back. Mm. Now, this helps to avoid flat spots on your tires. Typically, when people come back, they're coming into our garage saying, I've got vibration, I need alignment. And we look at it and we think, ask the question, have you been away for a while? And the first thing is, yes. And typically, their tires have changed shape. Mm. And they're feeling that vibration in the steering. And they could have put these new tires on in May or in April or just a couple of months back, and they'll have to change them again. Mm. So that's one of the biggest ones I think I see a lot.
And John, just to bring you into the conversation, and I correct myself here, it's Quick Pro Auto Tom. Get it right, you know. He does the business breakfast, this one. He's been shipped in to do motors. Get it right, Tom. Come on. Quick Pro Auto, family-run workshop in Alcuz as well. The other element to that question from Carlo earlier was car covers. Are you a fan of car covers or not?
I think they can help. You have to have the correct car cover, right? If you're going to be out in the sun, you're in the elements, your dashboard or your leather, your interior is obviously going to be feeling the heat. And heat damage does come, obviously, when it's been sat for some time.
Yeah.
So if you can get a car cover, then that would be recommended.
That's fun.
Yes, but I'd rather just find a basement tucked away, like Hitton said. I mean, the car covers, you know, you put them on, they look good, but and then 1 week later there's a bit of wind and you haven't tied it down properly and the cover lifts up on the corner, yeah, and you don't know, yeah, if it's going to be there in one piece when it comes back.
No,
the cheaper ones will melt into your car and little bits and fragment will come off and you have to wash the car again. There's too many unknowns with the car cover. Just get yourself in a car park and you'll be safer.
Right, yeah. Okay. If you haven't got the privilege of an underground car park, what about underneath a tree?
Ooh, no, I don't like that idea.
Even worse.
I've done it. We've all been there. You got all these leaves and stuff and birds and that and whatnot. Don't let me go into the details. You come back and the car's worse than you've ever seen it before. Another little
solution.
You
can't wash that out, can you?
Oh, it's difficult.
Yeah, if it's been sat for a few months, it actually destroys the lacquer.
We have cars come in the shop and there's leaves all inside the engine bay in sort of air passages, in drainage holes. And so when it rains, all these things are blocked and they don't do their job.
Yeah.
There is another solution, and they're like these bubbles. There's a few companies provide
the cocoons.
Them. Carcoons or the like of. And I do like the idea of those.
Yeah.
They're ventilated. They keep a nice untouching shield around your car, if you like. But it's still arguable whether they do the job in this extreme heat out in a carport or in the direct sun.
Mm.
I think they still work better. Probably indoor. In a shaded area.
Yeah, I think that's more reserved for if you've got like a car, $500,000 or more, and the luxury of air conditioned garage, and you're a bit OCD about your car, and you've got more money than sense, then buy yourself a car.
True.
But if you've got a humble Toyota Yaris and you live in a building, it's going to be a tough one.
It's
just
a tough one.
Tuck away in the corner. If you had to park under a tree, that would be the next best option, which is park under a tree. With a car cover.
With a car cover on.
Oh, okay.
And that might just make sense, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely.
Sacrifice the car cover.
Right. Instead of the car.
Let the pigeons have the car cover. All absolutely. Right, you can sort that. A couple of questions coming through just on your comments about tyres, and then we'll move on from there. So is the advice, do you check your tyres before you go away? Should you be making sure the tyres are at full air capacity, or you're taking air out the tyres before you go away? Or
so the best thing to do is to try and pump the tyres up a little bit.
Okay.
So if your average PSI is around 36 or so, then take it up to around 50, 55. Obviously, look at the max PSI ratings on your tyres and don't go above that. But the idea is that by the time you come back, yes, the tyres will lose a little bit of air, but they won't reshape the tyre.
Mm.
The best thing is tyre savers, in my view, if you're going long term.
Mm.
That's putting the cars onto these sort of circular platforms so your tyres stay round.
They're like orthopedic mattresses for tyres.
that's such a good way to describe it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's your tyres. People also talking about tints and screen shades in general, is that something that is going to make a difference? I mean, would you get your windows tinted just before you're going away for the summer? It seems a bit extreme.
I think you should have tints anyway.
You should. Yeah.
You should have tints anyway. They do provide, they do have a job. They have features and benefits that will help your car. So if you don't have tints, that's something you should look at. Mm. Anything to help with that tiny percent of heat rejection is going to be welcomed. Yeah. Like when you're in the elements, you're in the elements. But what can you do to help with various different aspects to bring down and look after the car, then you should do it.
It's UV, isn't it? Yep. UV is the killer. UV is bad for our skin, but it's also bad for all the colours and the materials
in your
car.
The dashboard and
UV deteriorates plastics very quickly. So anything you can do to shield that UV as much as possible, even day-to-day driving or while storing, definitely recommended.
So question as well for you all. I mean, if people are blessed to have a garage, if they've got a lockup, etc., at home, and they're able to put the car into the garage, lock the door, etc., whilst they go away for the 4.5 months that everyone seems to be going away for. I don't know where they find the budgets for at the moment. Has no one got a job these days? What's going on, eh? No one got a business to run. Windows open or close in the car?
So it really depends on your garage. If you've got some climate control, like some of us do, we have air conditioning in the garages to keep the temperatures and humidity nice, then it's okay. And if you've got really good, no windows and nice shade in the garage, I don't think it's necessary to have the windows open as such. But, you know, you can leave them a slight crack just to keep some airflow moving through.
Yeah, I agree.
And John, what's come through about batteries as well today, to connect or unconnect?
Leave it connected.
Always leave it connected.
And if you have...
That's interesting. I would have thought,
I think the
disconnect.
No, most of the recommendations actually say to leave it connected. Oh. And if you can get a battery tender...
I was going to just say that. I think a battery tender or a trickle charger, very cheaply available. Very worth having, easy to plug into a cigarette lighter or so.
They're cheaper than a replacement battery, put it that way. Absolutely. And they last forever. So it's definitely
and you can use them multiple times when you're traveling over different periods of time.
They're safe to be plugged in. They're pretty low power, low current.
So for everyone out there, trickle charger is, you just plug it, you're essentially plugging your car into the wall, just a normal 220-volt socket. But what it does is it just keeps the battery at 100%. So just like you're keeping your phone in overnight, even though it's charged. So it doesn't drain the battery, it doesn't overcharge the battery.
Correct.
But it just keeps it in prime optimal condition, which is good health for the car battery. And it makes your car battery last longer as well, way longer, in fact.
Definitely. Definitely. I 100% agree with that. I think the reason why we don't like advising batteries to be disconnected, it really depends on type of car and the kind of era of car.
The warning lights.
You know, so some of the older cars, okay, no problem. They don't have the electronics. Right. But some of the newer cars,
you're going to find a disco
very
light.
Sensitive to
you're going to connect it, the dashboard,
and you're going to see all the lights.
And for the motorheads out there, it's okay. They'll manage it. They'll get their clothes cleared. They'll find a way. But there's a lot of people who just, they'll be really frazzled by seeing that when they come back from holiday.
We've all been there, haven't we? You come back from holiday, you're about 3 stone heavier, you've had no sleep on the flight over, etc. Yeah. You're stressing about this, that and everything. The last thing you need to be doing is going through the manual, trying to work out what that light means on your dashboard, etc. So plan in advance. One more before we take a quick break, and it's the one that most people are texting in about. Full tank, empty tank, half tank. Anything in the tank?
Full tank.
Full tank.
Full tank.
I'm going for full tank as well. Absolutely.
Reason?
It allows less moisture in.
Okay.
It's for maintenance. It prevents rust in the fuel system.
Yeah, so I think if you've got a full tank, let's just think about it as a closed cup. The less air that pocket at the top of that liquid means you've got less passage for condensation to occur and also evaporation to occur. And so it's better for the fuel tank itself to avoid corrosion and rust. But also avoid these gases forming.
Nice. Do you concur, Dr. Chowdhury?
Yes, I do. If it's 2 months or less, I definitely concur. However, if you are going to keep a car, like whether it be a classic car or a second car that you're not going to use for a while, fuel has something called octane, which is run by a number called RON. So it's 98 RON, 97 RON. You probably see the difference
between RON.
Super and special RON, yeah? So what happens is you lose the RON, you lose the combustionness of the fuel over time. So if you were to do that, I'd also just throw in some fuel injector just to make sure you're getting the most out of that fuel. Or when you come back, drop in some fuel injector, go for a good drive, and try to empty out that fuel.
Once you're back. I think for long-term store cars, classic cars, there's also there's additives you can get that are preservatives, essentially.
Yeah.
So you can add them to your fuel, to a full tank. They'll preserve the tank and all its components. Yeah. And then usually before running the car again, there might be a drainage procedure or a quick, you know, run out, and then, then fill it back up with a full tank.
Exactly, with fresh run.
Do run. Naz Chowdhury, the automotive entrepreneur, is in the house. And we've also been joined this morning by the team from Quick Pro Auto, a family-run workshop in Alkers, celebrating their first anniversary. Happy anniversary to Anjana and Heaton, the Pindorias, alongside us as well. Anjana, where is Quick Pro Auto?
We are based in Alkers 3, just off West Alkal Street.
Okay, perfect. Yep. And in terms of what you're, you know, we talk about the fact it's a very competitive industry here. There's no shortage of workshops in Alkers and other areas of town. What sets you guys apart?
We are a family-run business. So for me Heaton, we always talk about education. I think that's one thing that people lack, is they often want to know, they just don't have the right information. So one of the things we're doing is just educating people on the basics, so that you're able to preempt, prepare, and, you know, manage when situations arise. Don't panic. Look after your car like your own health. Don't wait for it to deteriorate before you then go to the doctor and say, I need everything done. You know, preventative maintenance is better than reactive maintenance.
Much like your bodies, isn't it? You know,
much like your bodies.
Prevention rather than cure, etc. Yeah. Heaton, in terms of, I mean, the first anniversary, it's been an interesting year, has it not?
You know,
a lot going on.
But
what's the future look like for the business?
So I think we've come a long way. It's been a tough time. We're growing slowly. Our customer base has organically grown over the last 6 months for sure. But I think what we're looking at doing is holding some workshops. We're working on one in July for young children and teenagers. That's we're working on a little book about basics of the cars, about symbols on the dash, like we talked about, changing tires, things that I think young generation these days are a little bit, you know, unaware of. And I think they're all going to go out there and drive cars and be able to get around Dubai and this heat and the UAE. But are they going to be able to do the basics without running to a garage for small things all the time?
Do your sons work in the business? I know that your sons are your social media division, because I can see them behind you at the moment.
They do. They were the inspiration for the book.
Oh, brilliant.
When we bought the business, so prior to the business, a bit of a history is they were working on the cars in my garage. So they, three of them would disappear for about hours.
At home, yeah.
Lovely.
So at the home, we're in the house, and you'll be like, where are you? And he's in the garage. They've undone his bumper. They're measuring his calipers. They are looking. The car is jacked up on little jacks that he's got. And it started there. And they have such a passion for cars. And the questions they ask are lots. And this is where it started from. It stemmed from their thirst for knowledge, their seeing their dad working on cars and then wanting to be involved. Yeah.
So you've got the book. There's also the workshop that was mentioned as well. Yeah. You're running the workshop during the summer, yeah?
We are. We're doing one with a social enterprise where it's aimed at teaching the young generation skills. And that's the first step. We're doing it with a social enterprise first, and then we're going to try and do it even for adults. It's going to be, we've got a lot of friends who are queuing to be like, can you teach me how to change a tire? That's a skill we learn in the UK. I don't think people know how to do that, and often that can be a solution to be able to drive off safely. So we're going to be doing practical experiences just to teach people these things.
It's a really good idea. I think those practical skills that we're just losing across the board at the moment, you know, people can't do things for themselves these days, can they? Especially here.
Especially here.
Such a service.
I think you need to start teaching people how to put fuel in yourself. So if you ever get to Europe and you're like,
the other day,
how do I do this?
I had it the other day when we'd been over to the UK for E and things like that, and the old tyre pressure light had come on, etc. So I'd pulled into one of the big gas stations, and about three of the lads came charging over towards me and saying, don't worry, sir, I'll do it for you. It's like, mate, I can put the number of people they must get who just look at tyres and go, I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
No, you're right. It really is. You're right. I mean, the boys are there every Saturday. We try and do educational pieces with them every Saturday for an hour or so in the morning. So that's their learning piece. Then now they're kind of teaching their friends as they get with them, little things that they're learning. But we see that there's definitely a gap in terms of general knowledge and people who are running to us for simple problems that people can solve at home themselves.
Yeah. Talking of that, and just to wrap up on our summer conversation about car care during the summer, we've talked about a lot about lockups. We've talked about, you know, people putting it in shades, etc. If people have access to somebody just to turn the car over a couple of times during the summer, is that beneficial or not?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's not a bad idea. It's very good to get the fluids and the oils and everything running and get the car up to temperature and then turn it back off, get the battery charged up a little bit. It's a very good idea.
So you get pet sitters, don't you, and house sitters. Yeah, what about car sitters?
If you can get your neighbour just to come and switch the car on, just run it up to temps, because what happens is that as the oil settles, the oil is the blood of the system, right? So you want to make sure, you know, the valves, all the sprockets, all the gearing, everything dries up as the oil dips down into the sump. So just to have that oil circulating for a few minutes every week will really, really help the engine.
Listen, guys, we could talk for hours on this one, but we are rapidly running out of time. Can't thank you all enough. Let's just finish with one final little bit of advice, the best bit of advice to take away ahead of the long, hot summer here for passionate car owners. Heathen, let's start with you, if you can. If there's one bit of advice people should take away, what is it?
I think I'm going to stick to the make sure your car is in shade, and the tyre healths are the first things you kind of check and look at when you're going back and forth from your holidays.
Appreciate it. And John, for you?
I think I would have said the same, is make sure that you
He's
protect.
He's taken it already. You can't
he
say
did.
That.
He did. Oh, yeah, damn it.
Then just copy me.
Get your friend to turn your car on. I'm going to take that one.
And Naz, for you?
Yeah, battery health. I mean, look, that's the first thing that's going to go after the tires. You know, best part of 1,000 dirhams if you don't get it right. So either invest in a trickle charger or get your friends to turn the car on, taking everyone's answer here. Or if it's an older car, disconnect the battery, because it's just a very quick and simple saving if you just save your battery health.
Yeah. Listen, guys, can't thank you all enough. I'm not going to say farewell without a little bit of a clarion call for how people, you know, the other advice is to speak to people that know, like the three people in front of me. So, Anjana, if people want to get hold of you and the crew at QuickPro, what do they do?
They can contact us on Instagram directly, DM us, or they can contact the business line. Directly on our company mobile.
Or come down and say hi. I bet you do a really good coffee down there.
Absolutely.
As well.
Absolutely. Come and see us. Come for a coffee. Come for some tips and tricks on how to maintain your car.
It's the crew from QuickPro Auto. Family run. They walk the walk. They talk the talk and they walk the walk as well. The entire family are here with us here at the moment. So great to have you guys with us. Thanks so much indeed for your time
this
morning. All
us.
The best for the
Thank
summer.
You very
Stay
much
safe.
For having us.
And
Thank
look
you.
Forward to catching up at the end of the year. And Naz Chowdhury, how do people reach out to you? Obviously, they can tune in every Saturday.
Yeah, tune in every Saturday, or as we're going down the Instagram handles, NazDubai_ will be there to answer any questions for you guys.
Good on you, fella. Thanks so much indeed to all of you for your lovely questions today. We'll be back with more Motor Mania next Saturday. Enjoy your weekend. Stay safe.